My sermonette is titled Nowhere to Hide. And by way of introduction, I'd like to talk a little bit about surveillance. Surveillance is everywhere now. We can't get away from it. Video cameras are in stores. They're in parking lots. Video cameras are on the outside of buildings, light posts, traffic lights, even doorbells. We're being recorded all the time. Well, we have our mobile phones with us. Our location is very easily tracked. Data that we may create by making contact with others is very easy for our mobile carriers and governments, anybody who's got some kind of hook into the network, to keep track of in their massive databases. And of course, this just scratches the surface. This is just what is common knowledge. It's what we know about. It's in our terms of agreement that we sign, or look over, right? But without a doubt, there are so many other ways in which we are monitored with what we do, how we live, and what we're doing. It brings up that topic, that touchy topic of privacy. Privacy is something that we value, but we also willingly compromise a lot of our privacy for so many of the conveniences that we enjoy. For the most part, it's really not that big of a deal, right? We don't have a whole lot of negative consequence by sharing our data. The information that we share about ourselves by virtue of how we live our lives and the tools that we use doesn't usually affect us in many negative ways, or at least that's the way it works right now. It's easy for us to take the slippery slope and think about the ways in which the tables could turn. And in fact, being Christians, we know that Christians are going to be persecuted in times to come, and these are sincere warnings that we take to heart, knowing that we have views and live by standards that are increasingly unpopular in the world. Now, it can be pretty uncomfortable to find that our data is being used in ways that violate our trust. When we lose trust in those entities who have information about us to turn against us, we feel violated, and we ought to feel violated. When we are around people or entities that we don't trust, and sharing our information with people we don't trust, privacy becomes much more of an important thing. We don't really want to share things with people we don't trust. However, when we do trust others, it can be very beneficial to share information about ourselves. Right? For example, it is very useful for me to share my location with my wife so she can see where I am at all times if she wants. If I'm on the road traveling home from work, she's able to see how close I am and plan other types of things, I'm sure. I don't really have to worry about hiding from her because, I'm not out there doing things that I need to hide. So that's a trusting relationship that we have. I don't mind compromising my privacy. In fact, it's valuable for me to share that with her. Trust, of course, is the pivotal element when we consider how much privacy we need and how much we might want to hide. But when we don't trust others, we will try to protect ourselves by hiding those things that could put us into danger. And of course, this brings me to the point. Are we trying to hide from God? If so, what does that say about our trusting relationship with Him? Do we not trust Him enough? If we're trying to hide from Him, the answer is yes. And if we are trying to hide from Him, we are really in trouble, aren't we? Because there's nothing that we can do to hide from Him. Our innermost private actions, and even our thoughts are freely accessible by Him. How do we respond to that? When I tell you that God knows everything about you, even more than you know about yourself, how does that make you feel? Is this something that scares you? Or is this something that gives you comfort because you trust in Him? Are we trying to hide from God? Or probably the better question is, what are we trying to hide from God? In last week's Q&A, we read about the sin of Achan. He kept a few little treasures behind for himself when he was part of that the nation who was following God's instruction to destroy Jericho. These accursed things that he kept for himself were devoted to God, and they were not to be used for personal pleasure, as I'm quoting from the Q&A. As Joshua 6:18 states, the person taking those things would become accursed and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Surely God wouldn't mind if I kept just a few of these precious little things, these shiny little objects for myself. You know, we've destroyed Jericho, that job is done. But I want these little things. I think I'm going to keep them for myself. Those are the kinds of thoughts that were probably going through Achan's mind. Yet God knew all about it. It was fully exposed, and he was punished severely for it. In fact, when Israel went against Ai, or however you pronounce it, they were defeated because Achan had taken those accursed things and hidden them, tried to hide them. Among the most ominous scriptures in the Bible is from Ecclesiastes 12:14. I'll cite it for you. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Ooh, everything, right? Okay. Guess what? We can't hide from God. There's nowhere to hide. Even our innermost thoughts, even those thoughts that might be sinful, are called into judgment, as is stated here. The things that we think we might be able to get away with because nobody can see them, because they aren't fully visible to anybody else but ourselves, they are fully known to God. Jonah was another person who tried to hide. I'll go there if you want to join me in Jonah chapter 1. I'll read verses 1 through 3. Jonah 1, beginning in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Ha ha! Right! Good luck with that, Jonah. He really thought that he was going to be able to get away by taking a ship, get out of this responsibility. If God is asking me to do this here, I'm not going to be here. If I'm not anywhere near Nineveh, I can't do this job, right? Yeah. Well, quite a foolish endeavor by Jonah. It would have been so much easier if Jonah had just started out, just bit the bullet, did the hard thing that he didn't really feel like doing, and just done what God wanted to do him to do in the first place. But instead, he chose to run. He chose to try and hide. And he was brought back in a way that must have been absolutely terrifying, being in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. Whew, I don't think I would have wanted that. And he had to do the job anyway, right? If we try to flee from God, our efforts are feeble. If we try to hide from him, it's going to backfire, because we will be doing things that we think might be hidden from him, and they're going to be brought into judgment. For Jonah, he had to suffer that traumatic experience, and he ultimately did what he had to do in the first place. We cannot hide from God, just as Jonah cannot hide from God. Again, I ask you, how does that make you feel? Does that make you uncomfortable? Or does that make you feel good? Well, it should make us feel good, because we can trust God. We have to trust God. We know that He wants the best for us. Turn with me to Psalm 139, and I'll read verses 1 through 10, where we read about how much God knows about us. And these are comforting words. It's not frightening. This is the kind of relationship that we have with God and that He has with us. Psalm 139 and verse 1. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my laying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. That's pretty awesome. That's the kind of relationship that we have with God when we lay it all before Him, when we fully trust Him. He knows every innermost part of us. He knows us intimately. And that is a good thing. Recall that He will bring all of our doings into judgment, both those evil sins, but also the good, the things that are pure and genuine in our hearts. He knows us. He weighs our hearts. We do sin. Those sins are not hidden from Him. But when our heart is in a place where we are repenting, drawing close to Him, He knows that. And He knows that because He's so intimate in His relationship with us. If we are genuine and pure in our love for Him, what do we have to fear in letting our whole selves to be known? Jesus Christ is our mediator, right? That means that He is the one who is sharing information about us with God the Father. He is able to empathize with our fragile human state, our imperfections. He knows what it's like. He knows what you're going through. And He's able to convey that in a way that is to our benefit. This is only possible because we have nowhere to hide from Him. Let's turn over to Matthew 10. I'd like to read verses 28 through 31. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. This passage is about worry, primarily about ourselves, physically speaking, and that we ought not to worry about that. Why? Because God knows us. He is going to work everything out according to His will. We are admonished to have comfort in knowing that God knows everything that's going on in our lives. If there is fear to have, we read here, it is knowing that we are trying to hide our sin from God and it's going to be discovered, right? And there is going to be judgment and punishment for that. But Jesus concludes that we should not fear, though. God values us greatly. This relationship, this intimate relationship that we have with Him is truly wonderful. Since we know exactly what God has planned for us, and that is to bring us into His family, to offer us salvation for our sins that we cannot hide, and forgiveness for those sins, we have nothing to fear in sharing our full lives with Him. We ought not to be afraid of having nowhere to hide. He's going to see our sins, but he also weighs our hearts. We may have nowhere to hide, but if we are found working in earnest to overcome our sins and draw upon the salvation that Jesus Christ offers, we also have nothing to hide.